I have to tell you that I have to really ruin some of your thoughts and images that you had. That week in Bartow Hospital was not a vacation. It really wasn't. But I'm thankful I spent it there. And one of the side benefits, really, were the number of people who would come in, even at odd times in the morning. There was one nurse, I never learned her name, I just called her Vampira. And I just thought, that's nice. I didn't even open my eyes, I just stuck my hand out and let her do what she was doing. But some of the caregivers that would come, not you who would visit necessarily, but I mean nurses and nurses' aides and so on would come in. And when they found out that I was a pastor, it was interesting some of the comments that they wanted to share with me. And over the week, some of them became very interesting. And Jack, I'm sure you found this as a chaplain. People would ask spiritual things. And one of the interesting questions that one would always pose to me over and over again was, you know, I haven't been a good person. And I'd go, all right. And they would say, this one person, and I'm squeezing several of them together, can you give me forgiveness of my sins? I said, no. That's already been done through Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure all of you know justification by faith alone, right? You know that word? Okay. Well, there are a lot of people out there that don't even know what that's all about. And I said, I can't give forgiveness to anybody. I'm lucky to forgive myself, let alone forgive you. I can't do that. Jesus does that. That's what it's all about. And I thought, that's interesting, isn't it? They thought I had some kind of a magic touch because I was a pastor. Well, who do you go to when you sin? I said, I never sin. Anyway, half the fun is half the fun. But when they ask you for forgiveness, and I'm sure it's happened to some of you, oh, you're a good person, can you give me forgiveness? No. And I thought, you know, one of the real perplexing things that we live in our time, really, and it forcefully comes to show when we talk about peace and that emphasis that we're going to be having for the next 5 weeks. Peace. Peace. We pray for peace. We hope for peace. But do we show it? Do we share it? And what about Jesus? Interesting. Open your Bibles or your tablets or wherever your Bible is. We're going to be reading Mark, the 7th chapter, verses 24 through 37. And really, it's rather extensive. And we're looking at the 7th chapter. And we're picking up at verse 24. Now, you'll note in your Bibles the title of this, The Faith of the Syrophoenician Woman. And then we're going to be reading about the healing of deaf and mute man. We'll take an application if we can. And apply it to peace. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet, he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as She heard about him. A woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. First, let the children eat all they want, he told her. For it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, Lord, she replied. But even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Then he told her, for such a reply you may go. The demon has left your daughter. She went home and found the child lying in on the bed and the demon gone. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosened. And he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Yep. Worth talking about. Needless to say, we see a side of Jesus we don't often see. A side that was, on one case, really, looking at the woman and her child, sort of divisive and insulting. But with her response, Jesus backed off and gave her the request to heal the daughter. But much work is seen, much more is seen, rather. You see, the bigger picture here is that Jesus is healing a Gentile, not a Jew. He's offering hope and healing and comfort and peace to a Gentile. This is opening a whole new picture, you see, about this wonderful teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, it didn't pick up steam among the Gentiles until we find Paul traveling in the Gentile world. But this one scene is opening a whole new mission field. How often do we, and I'm talking to myself too, how often do we find ourselves in conversations about our faith, conversations about matters of faith, similar to my hospital stranger and strangers, or this very troubled mother? Sometimes we shy away from this type of encounter. If anybody's asking us for something, well, what do you believe? What do you have? We become almost tongue-tied, don't we? Don't we? We shy away from an encounter of anything that interrupts our faith. We're afraid if we talk too much about Jesus Christ, we're either sounding like a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon or a Seventh-day Adventist. Or some other peculiar religion. And notice how I'm saying that. We have a lot of peculiar religions, and I keep hearing them expressed on television. Jesus didn't really worry about the outcome. He really did hear what was natural. Do you notice that? In both of these instances, he did the natural thing. He didn't get tongue-tied about when it comes to sharing his faith. Our job isn't to change people like Jesus did, but our job really is letting the Holy Spirit come through us into other people's lives and not be afraid to let it happen. Why is it so hard to be a witness for Jesus Christ? I never could understand that. But then at times, I too am very weak, when it comes to witnessing for Christ and letting the power of the Holy Spirit come in and touch a life. All of us are outsiders. All of us. All of us are outsiders. We don't like to show God active in our lives. For some reason that I can't even explain, we just don't like to show or to share or to be. When I said outsiders, you realize everything we have, our possessions, our talents, our energies, our homes, all of this belongs to God, and all of it's because of God that we have them in the first place. God owns us. And God expects us to be a part of the lost and the lonely who are all around us, expecting us to bear witness, expecting us to be the shadow of Christ. This is why Jesus, I think, told so many parables about lost sons and lost sheep and lost coins. People are more important than this stuff. But it's the stuff that we concentrate on and we forget the people that make up the bulk of what makes life worthwhile. Jesus wants us, like Him, to help the sick, to help the troubled, to help the lonely, to share with outsiders and to share with the rejects, the people we can't stand and we walk away from. This is what's expected of us that make up the church. We are to do and are expected to do the acts of Jesus Christ all the time, loving and forgiving and welcoming and offering peace, whether we like it or not. Then we can receive those blessings from Jesus Christ that are promised there. Who do you suppose God will send into our lives this year? What's left of 2015? Who's going to be interrupting your life at some point between now and December 31st? What stranger is going to affect you and impact you? What person is going to ask you point blank, "Can you help me?" Like that person in the hospital, "Can you give me forgiveness?" I can't, but Christ can. Christ can. How many opportunities will we have to speak words of grace and love to hurting souls? Perhaps it won't be a stranger. Perhaps it'll be a coworker. Perhaps it'll be a member of the family. Perhaps it'll be a neighbor, a friend. But may God's Spirit open us to receive the gifts we've been given in Jesus Christ. And we've been receiving gifts that you can't even begin to measure. And may we learn that this is how we strengthen our faith. By strengthening the faith of others through God's love in Jesus Christ. That's a good beginning. It really is. Jesus said, if you, even you, had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace and love and understanding, but now they're hidden from your eyes. Jesus calls us to open our eyes, our minds, and our hearts to a different vision of peace and to be peacemakers. Peacemakers within our lives, our church, our communities, and hopefully our world. Pray with me. God of peace, how do we put peacemaking at the forefront of everything we do? God of justice and grace, how do we make our actions models of justice and fairness? God of compassion, how do we treat each other with compassion and kindness, even when we're angry with each other? Guide us in our work and play so that we are known as your children. Peacemakers, justice doers, compassionate people. Amen.